I want to talk this morning about no more powerless Christianity. And my text is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. This should be a life verse for all of Cornerstone people, all right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you all to say this after me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One more time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what that means is that there's no diminishing of his power. There's no diminishing of his greatness or his authority or his glory. His love is not abated, not a single iota. He's still as powerful as he was when he walked on this earth. In fact, the works that he did, he said, the greater works will we do because we have gone, he's gone to the Father. I want to begin by telling you a story of one of the greatest evangelists who ever lived. His name was T.L. Osborne. And T.L. would often open his crusades by saying these exact same words. He would say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he would say this. He said, if he indeed is alive today, then let him do what he did before they crucified him. And bam, all the miracles would happen and start to flow. In every crusade, God would move very powerfully. And he would just open the crusade with these words. Now, Jerry Savelle, who I really enjoy listening to, a Word of Faith preacher, heard this, and he was speaking in a crusade, evangelistic crusade in an African country, and he didn't know what to say. You know, he was a Word of Faith preacher, wasn't a real evangelist, but he remembered the words of T.L. Osborne, and so he repeated the same thing. He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if he's alive today, then let him do tonight what he did before they crucified him. And before the service was over, 21 blind people received their sight. Many people got miraculously healed. And he said, I never had to speak one more word. He said, wave after wave of God's glory would come upon the people. And they were healed and delivered and testified of the goodness of God. There is something wrong in the church when all we do is talk and talk and talk and no power. We're missing something very vital. And I'm here to declare to you that the God of Elijah is still the God today. Amen. I stand to declare to you that there is power in the name of Jesus, and it's time for us to see an end to powerless Christianity. Amen. Christianity without power is an affront to the price Jesus paid on the cross for us. I want to begin by iterating four Greek words commonly used to describe power in the New Testament. The first is the word exousia, and exousia is often translated authority in the Bible. Exousia is positional power. Exousia is the authority that is given to a man or a woman when he or she is born again. We all in this room have a measure of authority. No matter how young you are, you have a measure of authority. But of course, there's a difference between someone who's walked with the Lord for 20 years and someone who's just born again, all right? So, which simply means that authority is not static. God does not entrust kingdom authority to babes, all right? Authority is something that grows with you as you grow in your obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. God can and wants to increase exousia over you. It's a place of ruling with Christ. And as you grow in your revelation of Jesus, you can also grow in your exousia. The second word is the word dunamis, and it's often translated power. And in the Bible, it comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself declared that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and after that you shall be filled with power, P-O-W-E-R, power, that's dunamis, right? Now this power enables one to be a witness for Jesus. It is this power that enables us to function and minister in his name. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, Paul said, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the dunamis, the power that works in us. What Paul is saying is this power in us can grow, and it's only limited by our asking and by our thinking. Now, how do we grow in dunamis? The short answer, by praying in tongues, all right? That's how you engage with dunamis, by praying with the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost. And the more you pray in tongues, the greater the effectiveness of this kind of power. Now, while exousia is a function of position, dunamis is a function of engagement. The more you engage with the Holy Spirit, the greater the dunamis. Am I making sense to you? The third word for power is the word kratos, and this is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power or the kratos of his might. The word kratos means dominion. It means strength. And this gives us the idea that a man of God is now living continuously in a place of victory. There is a continual flow of power in your life. Now, kratos is built on consistency. Amen. Being consistent in the spirit, walking consistently in the spirit for long periods of time. Here is a man who prayed for years in the spirit. He is strong. He's overcome the devil. He's got a deep reservoir of power and faith. Hallelujah. He lives perpetually in the authority of Jesus Christ. I believe that all the apostles, Paul, Peter, James, and John, they all lived in this area of ruling with Christ in a continual swirl and power of the Holy Spirit. The fourth word for power is the word ischus, and it's often translated might. Now, might is developed by stamina. And the way we develop stamina is by exerting an opposing force. It's like developing a muscle. How do you develop a muscle? You exercise it by heavy lifting or by applying tension to the muscle. And the same thing applies to your calling. Your calling is going to be the one thing that I think is crushes you the most, right? For instance, if you're called to heal the brokenhearted, then God is going to put you in situations where your heart is going to be broken repeatedly. If you're called to prophesy, then you really got to be careful with what you say, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. If you're called to the ministry of healing, oftentimes God will allow you to experience pain and sickness and discomfort, because when you are ministering to people who are sick, it creates something called compassion. People who have a ministry of breaking the spirit of poverty in other people usually have to overcome adversity and poverty themselves, right? So here's another one. If you're ever going to be a rock of support or a cornerstone, then you have to experience something we call rejection, because the stone which the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. And I believe with all my heart, to the degree that you face rejection, that enables you or qualifies you to become a stone of support or a cornerstone to other people. So whatever your calling is, the Lord will somehow allow you to experience the very contradiction of what you are called to, because that's how you develop your call and your ministry. Amen. The greater the crushing, the greater the assignment. It's like a piece of diamond, right? Do you know that a diamond is just a piece of carbon or a piece of coal that has survived under intense pressure? All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul lists for us a total of 9 gifts, or what we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We categorize them into 3 separate categories or groupings. And the first is called the revelatory gifts, and they comprise the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. These are the what we call the revelatory gifts in the Bible. Then we have the prophetical gifts, which is the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And then there's a third category, and I want to focus on this one. It's the power gifts, and the category is the gift of faith, which is given to us to move mountains. And then you have the gift of healings, both plural, all right? Gifts of healings, and there are many gifts of many different kinds of healings. I told you about my story of how I got healed with my migraine, many years of going through these migraines, and suddenly the Lord, through a pastor, lays hands on me and he says, "Pastor Young, I have the gift of healing of migraines." He said, "That's a very specific gift. I pray for people with migraines. They always get healed." He laid hands on me in a crowded restaurant. I remember at the top of his voice praying in the name of Jesus. And 20 years passed, not a single migraine, right? There's something about the gift of healing that was released to me, whether I reach out by faith to receive it. Amen. And then finally, the third gift in this category is the gift of the working of miracles. Now, over the past few years in Cornerstone, we have done a lot to focus on the prophetic gifts. In fact, right now, we have a school of prophetic ministry, 320 students from 16 different nations. Amazing. We have laid a foundation of prophecy in this church. There is a prophetic element in this church. I think that many of you are growing in your prophetic gifts. In the past few years also, we've spoken a lot on wisdom and understanding, and I think we're seeing a deepening of that area. But I'm sensing now the Holy Spirit emphasizing on power, amen. And I've been sensing this for some time now, and boy, oh boy, we need to see His power in the church today, amen. Now today we are this the church today is what we call the 21st century. We're living in a 21st century, right? But all our theology, in if you understand a little bit about church history, has been influenced by two churches only: the first century church and the 15th century church. The first century church is the book of Acts, and the blueprint is in the Acts of the Apostles. The 15th century church is the church that came out of the Dark Ages and brought the church out into what we call the Reformation. In there are a few differences, and I think that one of the problems that the church today, the reason why we have a lot of controversy and a lot of convolution, is because instead of looking at the model that God gave to us in the book of Acts, we've somehow tended to look at the church of the 15th century and looked at that and say, that's the model we want to use instead of the first century church. Am I making sense to you? All right, so I'll give you a few examples of this. In the first century church, if you were sick, what do you do? What do? You call for the elders. They will come to you. They will anoint you with oil. They will pray the prayer of faith, and you will get healed. Amen. That's the principle in the Word of God. And more we got to trust God with healing, in the area of healing. If you've never experienced healing in your life, then you do not know Him as your Jehovah Rapha. And so we want to experience the healing power of God. In the 15th century church, if you were sick, it is because it was God's will, and God had a higher purpose for the sickness, and He wants you to learn how to suffer. They call it the sovereignty of God. Now, I stand here today and I want to say to you that I believe in the sovereignty of God. I truly believe that God is sovereign, but I also believe that He doesn't have to make you sick to learn suffering. I really believe that we must contend for healing. Amen. Did you know that about 3,800 verses, there are 3,800 verses in the gospel, 700 of which have to do with healing and deliverance. In other words, you take out healing and deliverance in the gospels, there's no gospel any longer. Jesus is the Jesus we know is the Jesus of miracles. Amen. The first century church believed that you could lose your salvation through persistent sin, rebellion, and a lack of repentance. Paul and the rest of the apostles thought that. But in the 15th century church, they introduced the idea that once saved, always saved, and in an extreme form, is basically a license to sin. And this has led to the propagation of what we call the hypergrace message, which I think is an aberration of the gospel. The idea that the day of miracles, this is the worst one, is over, and there's something called cessationism, and it came out of Reformed theology in the 15th century. It was taught by John Calvin, who got his teachings from a 4th century monk called Augustine, or Augustinian theology. But this was not thought by the early church. The early church thought that they should experience continual the power of God, which is a vital part of church life. We've got to see miracles in Cornerstone. Amen. We've got to see a constant flow of the power of Jesus Christ in the church. Amen. So I'm proposing to us that it's time for us to return to the blueprint of the first century church. The Acts of the Apostles is the divine plumb line and template. And if we're going to see results like they saw, then we're going to return to the way they did church in the first century. The first century church was Pentecostal. Acts chapter 2, 120 in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came, all 120 spoke in tongues, all of them. And there was no such thing as a non-Pentecostal church in the book of Acts, right? You didn't like the pastor, I'm going to leave the church, I'm going to go to the church down the road. They're all Pentecostals, amen. And I just want to let you know that, because Pentecostalism is not a fringe in Christianity, it's the New Testament pattern of Christianity. And may we never in this church ever drift away from our Pentecostal roots. The anointing, the Holy Ghost, the dunamis, the fire, the river, the mystical, the angelic, that's what we need today in the church. Amen. May we never fall into this trap of being just cerebral and, you know, it's just clever ideas and philosophy. We need the power of God. Amen. Now, there are many sources of power in nature, right? You got solar, you got wind, you got fossil fuels, you got hydro, you got nuclear fission. In the same way, the kingdom of God has many sources of power. Let's not be mistaken or naive about the fact that God can heal you 10 different ways, right? But you don't need to be healed 10 different ways, you just need to be healed one way, amen? And God has got many sources of power. All power and all authority belongs to Him, and He has given it to His Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus has delegated it to the church. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, we find that four ways that God uses to bear witness to the word, to validate the word, to authenticate the gospel. And these are the four things that he uses. He uses signs, number one. Number two, wonders. He uses various miracles. And number four, the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. This is the four things that he uses to authenticate the gospel message. Reinhard Bonnke used to say that the gospel, the miracles are like a dinner bell to the gospel. Amen. All the miracles in the church are not an end to itself. They must lead you to the gospel. Amen. No point just seeing miracles in the church for the sake of miracles, right? At the end of the miracles, the gospel message must be preached. Amen. People need to know the way of salvation. Now, what is the key to the power of God? What can you and I do to increase the power of God in our lives? There are no simple answers to this, but two things come to mind. A marriage of the word and of the spirit. Amen. And Jesus put it this way. He said to the Sadducees, you are mistaken not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. That's, by the way, the word and the spirit. Amen. Let's talk about the word for a few moments. Smith Wigglesworth, the great healing evangelist, had four principles when it comes to the word of God. He says, number one, read the word. Read the word. Did you read the word this morning? Before you came to church, did you spend some time, read a chapter, two chapters, meditate on the word, read the word, confess. Number two, consume the word. And the way we do it is by confessing the word. I think it's so important that we got to learn to confess the word of God daily. Every single day, learn to confess scripture. Amen. Number three, believe upon the word. Believe upon the word. And number four, act upon the word. Four things, all right? Read, consume, believe, and act upon the word. The word of God built a tremendous reservoir of faith in Smith Wigglesworth and produced many of the great miracles that we see in his life, including the raising of 14 people, including his wife, Polly. Tremendous power that the man had. And he derived much of the miracles through the power of the word. He was a man who was of the word, and he never in his life ever had a left, even at dinner table, there was a Bible. He would be talking to someone at the dinner table, and then he would say, would you please excuse me? He would just read the Bible, and then he would go back to the conversation. He was so engrossed with the word of God, and may we have such a respect for the word again. Amen. But reading of the Bible is not enough. We need prayer, lots of it as well. Someone asked me one time, he said, Pastor Young, which is more important, the word or the prayer? Or prayer. Let me ask you another question. Which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? We need both, amen? So it's both are important. Kenneth Hagin once said, if I didn't pray, I wouldn't preach. That was my rule. What a great rule to have. If I didn't pray, I wouldn't preach. And he said, I would pray in tongues for 8 hours. Let me read this little excerpt. I would pray in tongues and then preach with fire at night. Woo! He would pray in tongues and preach with fire. Hallelujah. Now, most of his major breakthroughs did not come while he was preaching. It came while he was praying in tongues for hours. He said, I fasted and prayed often, not to get God to move. God's always ready to move. He said, we must get the flesh out of the way. And fasting does not change God. It changes you. Amen. It quietens your body and tunes you to the spirit. And then Kenneth Hagin said this, and this is a challenge to me personally. He said, when I was pastoring, I would spend at least 3 hours a day praying in tongues. 3 hours. And I'm all like, oh goodness, Lord, help me please. Amen. It sharpened my spirit, kept me sensitive to the voice of God. Every time God enlarged my ministry, it was after a season of prolonged prayer and fasting. Come on, hallelujah. I'm telling you this, my friends, without long hours in prayer, you cannot carry that kind of power. No way. No way. It's just this life of dedication and consecration to prayer that you can enables you to carry the power of God. So I understand from Smith Wigglesworth, from men like Kenneth Hagin, and from many others that prayer and fasting and a steady diet of the Word of God are the keys to increasing the power of God exponentially in our lives. Word power and spirit power. Amen. Amen. And when they come together, it's like mixing glycerin with nitro. It's nitroglycerin. Boom. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need a close, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wigglesworth used to say you can't have the power of the Spirit without a deep personal relationship with Him. And if you don't see the Holy Spirit as a person, you would never want to seek a personal relationship with Him. You've got to see Him more than just a force. Amen. He is a person. One last thing, and I'll take this to a landing, and then we're going to pray for people. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then in Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, it's after the 40 days of fasting and prayer, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Now, I want you to look at me very carefully. I want to explain something to you. Here is Jesus. He's at the River Jordan and he's baptized by John in the river. That's his water baptism experience. He comes out of the river and the Spirit of God, like a dove, ascended upon him. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended as a fire, all right? But on Jesus, it descended as a dove, right? The reason, the difference is that we need to be purified. There's nothing in Jesus that needs to be purified, amen? So the Spirit comes upon him like a dove, and the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. What is he going to do in the wilderness? He's going to confront his adversary, and that's why he fasted for 40 days. And so in the wilderness, he's tempted with every temptation, summarized by the three temptations in the scripture, overcomes the devil. At the end of the temptation, he comes back, and the Bible says he returns in the power of the Spirit. He goes filled in the Spirit, but he returns in the power of the Spirit. There's a big difference there. There's a difference. And what happened was that in between the 40 days, something shifted in his life, and then he returns not just full of the Holy Spirit, but he returns full of the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so important. This whole wilderness experience is an important part of our journey with God, because it's in the wilderness, and that's where we are tempted, and we overcome. We have to overcome the things that we are fearful of, and God wants to give us the victory in the wilderness. Amen. I want to close by saying that we also must not be naive of the fact that Satan has power as well, and we must not be swayed by what we see, because sometimes Christians can be very gullible, and we see this miracle and we see that miracle, and you know, we run after things. The Lord said, "Don't." When they say that he is in the wilderness, don't run after that. He told us already, don't do that. Yeah? Don't do that. Okay, so we must not be swayed by the counterfeit of God's power. In history, we have found people who have tapped a dark source of power. There were two magicians in Egypt. Their names were given to us by Paul in the book of Timothy. The names were Jannes and Jambres. And these guys were magicians, court magicians. They had real power. They were not illusionists. They didn't have party tricks or sleight of hand. They were tapping on a very dark, sinister power that wasn't from God. In Exodus, they could copy Moses. I mean, literally, staff to serpent, water to blood, frogs out of the river, no problems, we can do that. Do you know what that made Moses look like? It made Moses look like a two-bit sorcerer. I mean, Moses came and he did all these signs. They could do exactly the same signs. Exactly the same signs. But then the swarm of flies came. Remember the gnats that came out from the maggots, and it was horrific. And that they couldn't duplicate. And when they saw that, they said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. In other words, this God is a big God. Hallelujah. We can't duplicate that. The question that we need to ask is, where did those musicians get magicians get their power from? They obviously tapped a dark and demonic source, right? These magicians were royal magicians, trained for war. They were not kids, man. They were not with sleeves full of tricks. They were using ancient knowledge handed down by fallen angels. The same book that which the book of Enoch says corrupted mankind before the flood. Yes, there is real power that can come from a wrong source, and the enemy doesn't need to be fake. He has power, but until the real real thing shows up, everything false will collapse. Amen. There is a real power that's coming, and that's the power of God. You want to know what real power is? You want to know what real power is? In the book of Psalms 105, we have the children of Israel, 2 million, about thereabouts, coming out of Egypt, 400 years in slavery in Egypt, right? No healthcare, no hospitals, no doctors, no nothing of that sort. But they came out of Egypt, the Bible says in Psalms 105, and there was not one sick person amongst them. Now that's real power. That God can sustain a whole community of 2 million people and not a single person was sick among them. Can you imagine the power of God? If God can do that for 2 million people, He can do that for 5,000 people here in Cornerstone. Amen. We can believe that there can be no cancer. Amen. In this house, we can believe that He can sustain us and there can be no... Listen, can we believe God for the day that the presence of God will be so powerful to heal every sick person in this room? Amen. There's not a single person that will leave not getting healed by the power of God. Amen. One last story in Acts chapter 8. There was a classic story of a sorcerer called Simon the Sorcerer, who deceived an entire city, Samaria, with his magic tricks. I mean, this guy really had power, until Philip came along, and Philip, you know, was operating at a totally different level. But, you know, this guy, Simon, turned his heart to Jesus, apparently. Everybody was so happy. They were high-fiving one another. Until Peter comes along and he could smell a rat, right? This guy's conversion was not genuine, and Peter could sense that something was wrong. And we need a greater discernment as well. The enemy's greatest weapon is deception. The church's greatest protection is discernment. Amen. We need to have and grow in discernment. Amen. In the next few moments, I'm going to be praying for you, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to move in this house. And if you have a need today, whether it's a physical need, and we all struggle at certain points in our lives physically, or it could be a financial need, and you are in this place where you are, you know, you sense that you always seem to have not enough, and you know, you're living in sort of a bit of a poverty, and you don't have the abundance that God wants to bring you into. And I believe that God wants to break every power of the enemy over our lives, financially, relationally, emotionally, physically, in every area of our lives. Amen. His power is greater. I want to close by saying that from 2012 to 2019, Cornerstone had the privilege of hosting 6 Kingdom Invasion conferences here in Singapore. Those conferences were very significant in the eyes of heaven because they brought an element of the supernatural to the churches in Singapore and in Asia that generally were a little ignorant, skeptical, maybe a bit distant to the idea that God can still do miracles today. God gave us that privilege and the honor of carrying that fire. And I believe that that mantle of the supernatural is still on this house. Amen. Still on this house. And we've been divinely commissioned by the Holy Spirit. And this is something we don't delegate, we don't relegate or take lightly. Neither can we let up, slow down, or decelerate the assignment. This is what God has called us to do. Amen. And I want to just say that with Jesus, with the Lord, all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible with God. Do you believe that, my friends? Do you believe that there's not one need He cannot meet? That there's not one soul He cannot save? There's not one marriage He cannot save? There's not one door He cannot open? There's not one giant He cannot defeat? Not one mountain He cannot move? And there's not one broken heart He cannot mend? Amen. I want you all to stand up with me, please. We're going to be praying in the next few moments. 2 things I close with. Number one, I want you to listen very carefully. Jesus in Mark 11 said these words. He said, "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says will be done, it will be done for him." Listen to these words. Whoever says to this mountain. Sometimes we pray this way. We direct our prayer to Jesus and we say, "Oh Jesus, will you move this mountain for me?" That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea." We got to learn how to speak to the problem. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's how we speak. We speak to the problem in the name of Jesus. So I have nerve issues right now. So every morning I look at my hands and I say to these hands, listen to me, you are my hands and I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus and to come into alignment with what the Word of God says you should be in come into alignment with. I don't say to Jesus, oh, Jesus, will you heal me? I speak to my hands, but I do it in the name of Jesus. You understand? You address the problem in the name of Jesus. Abraham, our father, is called the father of many nations. That's what his name means, Abraham. And God gives him a wife that can't even have a single child. Not a single child. She was barren. Boy, Lord, what a wonderful calling. You called me to be a father in many nations. My wife can't even produce one son. For 25 years, barren, no children. But a confession of Abraham every day was, I believe I'm going to be a father of many nations. Woo, come on. Never wavered on his faith. Kept on hanging on to the promise of God. And he became a father of many nations. And then the Bible tells us to look to our father Abraham. That's the promise that God gave to him to be a father of many nations. So I want you to ask you today to look to him right now. The second thing I want to say is this: power is not effective unless there's a conduit. Okay? Power can be stored. We know this, right? We all know science. We know that power can be stored in different forms. But for power to be effective, it has to have a conduit. There has to be a release for it to work. And that channel is through faith. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants us to learn how to exercise faith. And the most important way to keep faith burning in your heart is confession every day by learning to confess. So Jesus said, have you the faith of God? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says will be done, he will have what he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So it's very important for us. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that the key word is the word say. You got to say. You got to speak. You got to speak positively. Amen. And that's what I'm learning in this season in my life. Learning how to confess things positively. Hallelujah. Now, whatever problems that you might be encountering right now, whether it's a physical issue or financial issue, it could be a relational issue. I want you, wherever you are, stretch your hands right now. Reach out in the name of Jesus. Now, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to speak to that situation. You speak to that situation in the name of Jesus. You speak to that situation, all right? So you say to, perhaps it is your heart that needs healing. You say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to my heart and I command you, oh heart, to be aligned to the promises and the purposes of God. Amen. Speak to your heart as though you're speaking to an entity. Speak to your hands, speak to your legs, whatever the problem might be, you got to speak to that physical problem in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus said. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it shall obey you. Could be a financial problem. You might have to say today, I speak to my bank account. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Baba, in the name of Jesus, you are not where it is right now, but you shall be. Hallelujah. Speak to it as though it's an entity and believe God for the miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to have faith in God right now. Let faith arise. Oh, Rabba. I'm going to ask Bob just to do one song and then we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. We're going to see miracles happen today. Shura Baba Baria. many of you here today, you've received promises from God. Those promises have not yet come to pass in your life. But in fact, the very thing that God promised you, the opposite is happening right now. There's contradiction. Everything that the God promised you is it's the opposite of what God promised you is happening right now. It's a test. It's a test to see if you are willing to lay a hold of the promises of God. Trust God for the blessings. Hallelujah. If your heart is right with God, if you will press on, if you lay hold of God, I'm telling you this, your promises will come to pass. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He said it, he will do it. He's spoken, he'll make it good. Amen. I just want to declare to you right now by faith that no good thing will God withhold to those that love him right now. In the name of Jesus. No good thing will God withhold to those that love him. Hallelujah. He wants to bless you. He wants to favor you. He wants to bring you into a place of prosperity. He wants to bring you into a place of favor. Hallelujah. And fulfill the destiny for your life. He's a good God. He's a good Father. So I want to pray right now. Father, I thank you for this congregation, Lord. There are needs in this place today. My prayer, God, is that you break every chain of the enemy, oh God. Jesus, when he came, declared, I've come to heal the broken heart, hallelujah, to set the captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor, to open prison doors, to give them oil for joy, hallelujah, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, hallelujah, that they may be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus today, I break every power of the enemy over this house, hallelujah. I break every chain in the name of Jesus, and I pray, God, for a loosening, Lord, the loosening of your presence in this place. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will set your people free, hallelujah. Oh, Ramamashika, oh, believe for your miracle today. Believe for your miracle. Believe and you will receive, hallelujah. If you will believe, you will receive, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I pray for release of the power of Christ. Lord, I come against every sickness in this place, especially the spirit of cancer. Oh, I tell you this, my friends, if you have cancer or a friend that has cancer, stand in proxy now in the name of Jesus. Cancer is an alien, it's a foreign substance. It needs to be cast out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Don't you ever treat cancer lightly or as a friend. In the name of Jesus, we break every power of the spirit of cancer over this house right now in the name of Jesus. And we loose and release your anointing, Lord, to heal. Oh, may the presence of God release that anointing, the Lord present to heal every sick person right now. In the name of Jesus, we receive, we receive, we receive. Oh, makayabo shaya mama makaya baba. Come on, my friends, just for a few moments, pray in the spirit. Take a hold of the promises of God and say, yes, Lord, I believe you, Lord. I believe in the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Rabba Shia Rama Mama Mama Kaya Baba Say, oh Rabba Shora Bashoria Rama Sekaria Rama Sotar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray that as people go back, they will check themselves, Lord, to see if they've been healed. They will check themselves. They will see the situation. Things are going to be different. And I ask you today that if you are healed, if you know that you're healed, if you know that virtue has come into you, and if you know that situations change, make sure you testify. Make sure you testify and give thanks to God. Testify of his goodness. Give thanks to God for what he has done for you. Because that's the way to keep the healing strong in your life. Hallelujah. So I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask Pastor Daphne just to come and just close us in prayer over this congregation.
Amen. Father, we thank you for, Lord, bringing us back, Father, bringing to remembrance, Lord, the things that, Lord, you have already spoken from the very beginning. And Father, your word says, Lord, if we hear and we believe, we hear and we believe, Lord. And Father, we pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that there will be an exercising, Lord. Lord, an exercising, a strengthening, that your church will grow in strength, in might, Lord. Lord, in the knowledge of God. And Lord, today, in the mighty name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. No other name, at no other name, at no other name, God. That, Lord, whatever prayers that, Lord, have been heard, oh Lord, whatever prayers that have been uttered, oh God, that has been spoken, oh God, Lord, you are the God of the creative, Lord. You created all things, oh God. Lord, you separated and you spoke light, Lord, and darkness fled, oh God. And therefore, light in the mighty name of Jesus, come in into every soul, come in into every heart, come in to everybody, come in Jesus' name. We speak the light of Christ. And Lord, let this light that is in them, Father, Lord, create, oh God, for them to see and to hear and to perceive, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for the healings already. The healings already that have begun, oh God. For the miracles, Lord, have already started, Lord. We give you all praise. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. The blessing of God, the Father, of his Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. And everyone says, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God be praised.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.